Well, I'm glad you came back this morning. As you can tell, my voice has got a little lower. I think I went through puberty last night or something. I don't know. It doesn't hurt. It just sounds funny. So if you can put up with it, I'll just sort of keep talking until it runs out. And if it runs out, then we'll just do more practicing of these methods. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you so much for the privilege of being your child. Pray that we would never get over the day of salvation and never lose that first joy and that first love for you. Pray that we'd realize that in everything we do, we want to bring glory to you. Thank you that you're using every situation to make us more like Christ in all that we think or say or do. Lord, we love your word. We honor it. And just pray that you might feed us from it. Help us to become doers of the word and diligent students, that the word might be in us and we might be in the word. Thank you for this time, and we may talk about these techniques of learning to be skilled at studying your word. I pray, Lord, that lives might be changed as a result, not of this conference, but as a result of putting into practice these techniques and getting into your word. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's have a little review from last night before we get into this session this morning. Without looking around or anything, let me ask you a few questions. What did we say? The secret of good Bible study is what? No. The secret of good Bible study is learning to ask the right kind of questions. Okay, you flunked that one. Let's try it again. All right. The ultimate goal of Bible study is application, not just theoretician. You haven't really thought about something unless you've written it down. Austin Trotman, you say, thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. When you put them down on paper. And we talked about how God's Word deserves to be studied systematically and how it's an insult to God's Word to just go at it in a haphazard manner. God's Word is holy, and we need to value it and to study it in such a manner. We talked about how God says that He wants us to get into His Word and to continue in it. And you cannot exhaust the truths of any one passage, but you'll always come back with new insights. And we talked about scheduling your Bible study time. We said the worst time is when? When you're tired, right? Anybody tired this morning? Okay. All right, and another bad time to study it is when? Yeah, after you've eaten. How many of you have just eaten and are tired? All right, let's dismiss for an hour. I'll take a nap. We'll come back. All right. Talked about the value of a notebook. And I said last night, I believe that I started keeping a notebook about 9 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, and it has been the most important tool in my spiritual pilgrimage next to the Word of God itself. Just keeping notes, because my problem was not dedication, it was retention. I just wasn't retaining what I was learning. And we talked a little bit about different tools and things like that, and then talked about praying. And it's important that you prepare your heart before you study the Word. Somebody has said we need to search our hearts before we search the Scripture. In other words, get our lives cleaned out so we're ready to get into the Word. And then we began talking about the devotional method. And we said that the three key words in devotional study are what? Meditation, application, and memorization. That just sort of summarized it all up. And I realized that was pretty basic last night, but it's key because, as I said, every time, no matter what type of method you're doing, if you're doing a book synthesis or a topical or a chapter analysis or a survey, you always want to apply what you've learned. We talked about ways to meditate. And what were some of the ways that we talked about meditating? Ponder it. Okay? What else? Pronounce it. And it. I'm getting all these answers here. That's good. Okay, picture it. Visualize it in your mind. Paraphrase it. Personalize it. Yeah, put it in the first person. Practice it. Okay, what do we say the S stood for? Okay, I'm not going to go through that whole thing. I just want to make sure you remembered what we were talking about. Okay, that's good. And then we said when you write out an application, you want to be sure to do four things. You remember what they were? An application ought to be personal, practical, possible, and provable. How do you know if you've done it? Set a deadline. Set some kind of date on it. And then memorize a verse so that God can go ahead and work in your life. Now, today, what we're going to try to do is cover four different methods, possibly five, depending on how much time we have and how my voice holds up. We're going to talk about chapter summary next. And that is a very, very easy study. These first two studies are extremely easy. You don't have to have any tools to do them. And you can teach them to brand new Christians. We'll also be talking about thematic study. We're going to talk about topical, character, and if we get time, word study. Because these are five real key studies that we can get into. If you'll take your Bible study packet and get out the one that says chapter summary, we'll start right there this morning. Chapter summary is a very, very easy method of Bible study, but it is a really interesting method that you can go on for about 1,189 times, to be specific, because that's exactly how many chapters are in the Bible. Let me give you a definition of a chapter summary. I'm going to raise this up so I don't have to talk real loud. Okay? Chapter summary involves gaining a general understanding, of the contents of a chapter, by reading it through at least five times, comma, asking a set of content questions, comma, and summarizing the central thoughts of the passage. Let me say it again. Chapter summary involves gaining a general understanding of the contents of a chapter by reading it through at least five times, asking a set of content questions, and summarizing the central thoughts of the passage. Now, this method should not be confused with chapter summary. Chapter summary is a very exhaustive type of method, and it's a lot of fun, but it takes a lot more time. Chapter summary can be done without any tools at all. You're going to need some tools here on this chapter analysis. So there is a difference between these two. So don't confuse it. Now, the Bible as it was originally written, as you know, there were no chapters in it. In fact, the chapters were not even put into the Bible until 1228 AD by Stephen Langton. So the chapter divisions are not inspired. But they do, for the most part, make a good break, and they give you sort of a bite-sized piece that you can get a handle on, and it just makes a nice section of Scripture that you can study. Sometimes the chapter divisions are a little off, like between Romans 7 and 8 and some other areas. Basically, chapter divisions are pretty good. Now, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. That means if you were to do one chapter summary a day, if you were to take this method and you were to do one a day, you could go through the entire Bible in just about 3 years. Or if you were to do two a day, do this method, two of them a day, summarize two chapters a day, you could go through the Bible in about 20 months. Now, I don't suggest you do that because you'll get awfully bored with this method if you just do it every day. All right, if that's the only kind you do. But this method is really a pretty popular one for a few reasons. Number one is because a chapter is a short enough amount of Scripture, it doesn't take a lot of time to do. This does not require as much time as some other method might require. It's very easy to do, You can teach this to a brand new Christian the day he gets saved. And it doesn't require any outside tools. Chapter summary is the Bible study method that I do when I go on a retreat or when I go up to the mountains for a few days or something like that. You know, you don't want to carry your whole library up to up to the mountains. But if you know the questions to ask in a chapter summary method, well, then you just memorize them or put them in the front of your Bible, then, you know, you can be sitting in a bus depot and you got an hour to, you know, mess around. You just pull out a blank sheet of paper and you can do a chapter summary method without having to have any tools. So you can do it very easy. All right? Here are the steps in how to do a chapter summary. We're going to just get right into it this morning. The first step is to read the chapter through at least 5 times. Now, there is no better way to get acquainted with the contents of a chapter of the Word of God than to just simply read it. I just cannot overemphasize the importance of reading the Word of God. Read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. And read it again. Somebody asked G. Campbell Morgan, the great Bible preacher, expositor, why his messages were always, you know, packed with content. And he said it was because he had a habit of whenever he would begin to do a book study, preach through a book in the Bible, he would read it through at least 40 times before he would preach it. Well, good night. If you read through a book 40, 50 times, you're going to know the mind of that author. And so you want to read it through at least 5 times, over and over. Now, here are some tips on how you ought to read it. Number one, I suggest that you read it in several different translations. You know, read it in New American, and read it in New International, and read it in Good News. Read it in the Living if you want to. Read it in King James. You know, read it in several different versions of Scripture and note the differences. Another thing is I suggest that you read it through without stopping. When you're doing a chapter summary, you're not looking for the details right at the start. You're just trying to get the flow of the chapter. And so you read it through from beginning to the end without getting sidetracked on a point or a word or a question. Just read it through. You're just trying to get the finish, the flow of what the chapter is trying to get across. I'd also suggest that you read it through in a Bible without notes. The best type of Bible to use in chapter summary is to use a Bible without notes. And I'll tell you why. If you use your study Bible to do a chapter summary, you've got notes in your Bible, it is going to sidetrack your mind into the same rut that you've seen before. You're going to see the same thing. You see, if I'm reading any chapter, you know, I just opened my Bible here, Luke 10. And I start reading down Luke 10, and I see, oh, here's a note out here from some sermon I heard, or here's a Bible study I preached, or, you know, here's some little note. And immediately, click, my mind goes off to that Bible study. And I get caught in a rut, and I see the same thing every time. Because, you know, I see the same devotional, same outline, and like that. If you use a Bible without notes for this method, then you will not go and see the same thing. You'll catch something new. You'll get a fresh idea. So I'd suggest that you use a Bible that you haven't written in so it doesn't sidetrack you to something you've already seen in the past and you just keep sticking in a rut. If you have a problem with concentration, and I do a lot of times, I suggest that you read it aloud but quietly. That will help you concentrate on the Scripture. If you'll just read it aloud, you know, not shouting it, but if you just read it under your breath. Now, I know that, you know, they tell you in speed reading that that's bad, that when you mouth the words that, you know, it slows you down. Well, we are not trying to speed read through the Bible. You're going to meditate on this, and so you want to just read it through, and I found that if you read it aloud, it will help you in your understanding the content and keep your concentration focused. All right, after you've read it through 3 or 4 times, then you begin to go back and reread it and begin to look for 10 specific things. Now, I call these the Tennessee questions because they're 10 C's. And they're the 10 words that are written on your form. So if you'll just follow along in your form now, I'll just go through this and explain it to you very quickly, and then we're going to practice this method for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So it doesn't take very long. As you read through the chapter, you'll begin to look for 10 specific things and write these answers out in your chapter summary form. Now, if you'll just write down these words in the flyleaf of your Bible, you don't have to have a form. You can just take a piece of paper anytime and just begin to write it down. All right? In the chapter there at the top, of course, you're just going to put whatever you're studying, John 10 or Mark 14 or whatever you're doing. All right, in the caption, this is where you want to give a short, descriptive title. So the first thing you want to probably look down for is a short, descriptive title. Now, the shorter your title is, the better you'll remember it. For instance, if you're going to give a title for 1 Corinthians 13, what would you name it? Love, yeah. How about Hebrews 11? Faith, yeah. It's real easy. The shorter you get your words, the more you remember. John 3, you might think born again, or born again through believing, or born again in Christ, or something like that. I was talking to Josh McDowell one day, and he was telling me that in John 4, the passage there, there's two stories. There's the story of the woman at the well, and then there's the story of the nobleman's son who was healed. He was made well. And he said he talked to a guy one day who gave a chapter title for that chapter and called it Well, Well. Now, you'll never forget that, you see? Well, well. And if you get, the shorter you get it, the more you remember. So now, anytime a preacher gets up and says, would you turn in your Bibles to John 4, I immediately think, well, well. Immediately, I know the context of whatever he's going to preach on. He's either going to speak on the nobleman's son made well or the woman at the well. So you'll get a chapter title. John 2, I think of wedding wine, temple cleansed. Okay? And immediately, somebody gets up and says, would you turn your Bible to John 2? Before he's even turned, I think, wedding wine, temple cleansed. And immediately, I know the context of anything he's going to talk on. And this will help you as you're going to study the Word, because you'll develop a memory bank. It's a mnemonic device, what it is, a short title, and you can know the contents of the Word of God by chapter titles. And it'll help you. Now, this is really helpful later on when you make a horizontal chart in a book summary, or book survey. All right, in the contents, you want to do one of five things. You want to describe the contents, but here's how you can do it. You can either describe, or you can summarize, or you can paraphrase, or you can list, or you can outline the chapter contents. That's what you want to do. You just either want to, one of those five. The reason I said that is because it basically is up to your personality. Some people love to outline. Other people hate it. How many like to outline? Okay? How many hate it? How many would rather paraphrase than outline? How many would rather list? Okay? That's what I do. I'd rather list. That's my thing. I'm a lister. And so it's basically up to you. You know? Here I am listing from side to side. Okay? Whatever is convenient to you, in some way, describe the contents of the chapter. All right? Chief character. Here you want to put down who are the main people in the chapter. That's simple enough. Who are the main people? And you're going to have a great time when you get to the genealogies. Now, I would suggest that you not try to do a chapter summary on the genealogies. But, all right, who are the chief characters and why? Choice verse. Now, in the choice verse, you can do one of two things. You can either list the verse that summarizes the chapter, or you can list the verse that speaks to you. Now, personally, I like to just list the verse that speaks to me. A lot of times the verse that really grabs me isn't the verse that summarizes the chapter. I just sort of put the verse that I like, that really speaks to me. But you might want to put down the verse that sort of summarizes the chapter. All right? Crucial word. What are the key words? And usually, a lot of times, the key word is the word that is used the most. For instance, going back to 1 Corinthians 13, what's the most used word? Yeah, love. Hebrews 11, faith. How about Romans 5? Much more. Much more. How about Romans 7? I. The word I. It's used 27 times. How about Romans 8? Spirit, yeah. Used 19 times. You know, and you'll find key words that are used over and over. And a lot of times those will be the crucial word. So write down the crucial word. What is it that sort of summarizes the chapter? All right, then challenges. Here, you want to write down, is there any difficulty that I don't understand? Any difficulty that I don't understand? Now, there are two basic types of difficulties. There is the personal difficulty, and there is the possible difficulty. Personal difficulty is a problem that I have that I don't understand the Scripture, and I need to go and check up on it. a possible difficulty is a problem in that verse or that chapter. It doesn't bother me at all, but I may need to go study on it because if somebody asked me, if I witnessed somebody and they asked about it, I need to be sure to be able to interpret it. Like, personal or possible? Possible difficulty. You know, it's something you don't have any problem with. Like when Jesus tells the lady, he says, it's not right for, me to give the breadcrumbs to the dogs, when the children are hungry. And, the woman, she says, but Lord, even the dogs, they come and they're under the table, things like that. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I may not have a problem with that, but somebody else may. And so I may need to go study that just in case, I need to minister to somebody and help them in that area, especially like in witnessing. All right? Challenges, difficulties you need to study. Then cross-references. Now here you just want to list what else in the Bible helps me understand this chapter. You'll need a cross-reference Bible. What other verses help explain? The Bible is the best commentary on itself, and it will enlighten. One of the key principles of interpretation is interpret Scripture by other Scripture. Interpret the unclear in light of the clear. So let the Bible interpret itself. Number 8, Christ seen. In this section, you want to put down here, what can I learn about the nature of Jesus or the nature of God? Now, it's interesting that the Bible is a book about Jesus. And the Old Testament is about Jesus, and the Psalms are about Jesus, and the New Testament is about Jesus. You need to look for the principle about the nature of God. The Bible is a book of God revealing Himself to man. And so, fine, how is God revealed in this chapter? It's interesting that Jesus took the Scriptures at that time, and what was it? It was the Old Testament. And it says He began to explain to the disciples all about Himself, beginning with Moses. In other words, He explained how He was seen through the Scriptures of the Old Testament. So, how is Christ seen? What does this tell me about the nature of God, or the nature of Jesus, or the nature of the Holy Spirit? Does it show me His mercy, or His justice? Does it show me the love of God? Does it show me, the omnipotence of God? And so look for that. All right? Central lessons. What principles or insights can I learn from this chapter? And what are the basic lessons of this chapter? There may be one that you want to just put in a sentence. You may want to summarize two or three of them. And then the conclusion is where you write your personal application. Remember, we always want to try to apply the Scripture to our lives. You can use any of those ways we talked about last night. Is there a sin to confess, promise to claim, any of those things? Any of those ways of meditation. But you would use some form of application. Basically, when you come down to application, you're asking yourself two questions. Number one, what does it mean to me personally? And number two, what am I going to do about it? That's really what application summarizes down to. What does it mean to me personally? And two, what am I going to do about it? What kind of action? Now, there's a book by Keith Brooks. You may want to write this down. I think you probably got it in the library, in the bookstore, don't you, Max? It's called The Summarized Bible. I know you've got it because I got it out of your library last night. The Summarized Bible. Now, what The Summarized Bible is Keith Brooks has just gone through the Bible and done a chapter summary method all the way through the Scriptures. Now, you might want to get that, but don't use it until after you've done your own. Because he's wrong on some things. You're going to find something better a lot of times. I would suggest that you go and do a chapter summary, and then you might go and check up with him and just compare. Because a lot of times there's no one right answer. Now, the way that this book will help you the most is in the section where you write down Christ seen. I've found that that's usually the area that people have the hardest time figuring out. How is Christ seen in this passage, especially in an Old Testament passage? If you'll use Keith Brooks' books, he'll give you some suggestions of how Christ is seen in that passage. So you might want to pick it up. It's a paperback book, and it's published by three different companies. Published by Baker, Zondervan, and Bible Memory Association. If you get it from Bible Memory Association, you'll get it through Wayne, Max, you'll get them the cheapest. And so it's open copyright on it. All right? Now, that's real simple. Does anybody have any questions on this? You see how easy it is. To do. You don't even have to use any reference tools. Now I want you to turn, let's just take an example here for about 10 minutes, and we'll just do one together. Let's do Luke 15. All right, let's turn to Luke 15. what I want you to do, I want you to just read through the passage right now. And we won't ask you to read it through five times. Read it through just one time. And then begin to go through and look up, write down your conclusions for these different things. What would you title this chapter? You know, what would the contents be? And you can just sort of compare it. And then after we're through, we'll come back and we'll just share with each other. So let's just take about 10 minutes just to do a little short chapter summary on Luke 15. This is a story of three parables, so it breaks down real easy into sections so you can outline it or describe it or whatever you want to do.